Hello, everybody, and welcome to our shared worship. Whether you're worshiping with us in the morning or the evening or the afternoon, whenever you're worshiping with us, lovely to have you here. As has become our custom, we're going to begin with a short blether and tell you what's been going on in all our various congregations. So we'll begin this morning with Echt Emidmar and Sheila Mitchell. Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to everybody who's listening. Things are well over with us in Echt and Midmar. The last couple of weeks, we've been enjoying fellowship again at the end of worship with tea and coffee, and we have some plans for expanding that and developing that a little bit. We're looking forward to starting off some activity again with our young people, and again, there are meetings in progress around that at the present moment, so we're looking forward to being a bit more engaged again with the community and with our youngsters. I'm looking forward as well next week to being with the folk again at Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary. That's on the 5th. So I think we'll be at Chapel of Geary, and that will be lovely to be worshipping with them. And then our service next in Midmar on the 5th will be this. It will be our joint worship for the first time in our new way of working on the 5th. And then, of course, together we're looking forward to our joint churches meeting, some of our ongoing planning at the beginning of September. And hopefully by Christmas, we'll have more of a steer in our way ahead. So, yes, looking forward to joining in worship as well this morning. I'm preaching and we'll be looking at the themes of the lost sheep and the lost coin.
Thank you very much, Sheila. We look forward to that. We move now to Clooney and Money Musk, and that's Ewan Glenn. How are you, Ewan?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello, it's nice to be able to join with everyone for this joint service whenever you're watching it. A few things that's happening at Clooney and Money Musk. Today, the 29th, we're holding a driving service at the church, and we're hoping that the weather stays fine for that. And it's had a benefit in that we've had all the verges and edges tidied up for us by local folks. So that's been great in preparation for this. Also, we're making plans to have a fundraising event in a fortnight's time, the 12th of September. We're having a garden gathering at one of our members' homes, and it's just going to be tea, coffee, cakes, etc. It's sort of coffee afternoon. It's on a Sunday afternoon, any time after 2 o'clock. You can just pop in. If you're driving past, it's spectacular views from the top of the hill overlooking Money Musk, and more details if anybody wants to see that. Come along, speak to me, and I'll give you directions. Also, our mainly music group is about to restart, and I think actually they're going from one session a week to two sessions a week because they're oversubscribed. So that is encouraging, and I'm grateful to the staff, the teachers who are giving up so much of their time to do that, and that will lead on eventually to the Sunday school starting. So there's quite a few things starting to pick up. I'm not mentioning Kirk session meetings yet because we're still hesitant in how we're going to do that, but that will be happening also in September. So a busy time, an exciting time as we restart after our restful summer holidays.
That's super, Ewan. That sounds like fun. I hope you have good weather for that outing next week. Right, then we come to Joshua in Kemnay. Joshua Michelson, lovely to have you with us. What's happening in Kemnay?
Hello, Neil, everybody. Nice to be with you today. Like yourselves, I think we're kind of easing back into an autumnal rhythm of activity. Pleased to say that our numbers seem to be increasing each Sunday, so I take that as a positive sign that people are comfortable, slowly becoming more comfortable coming back to church. We're continuing in Kemnay to run our lunch club on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 12 until 2 p.m. And this lunch club is aimed primarily at vulnerable people in our community, especially those who were put under extreme duress during the pandemic. So this is one of the ways we're trying to continue our support of our vulnerable people. And in Kemnay itself, we are also looking forward to the planning meeting on the 2nd of September to continue to discern how to move forward as grouping. And hopefully that will, as we say, lead you good results. And as we come into the eventual holiday season, bit hard to think of Christmas right now, but as we come into that, we'll have more clarity on the way forward together. So we're looking forward to that. So that's what I wanted to share about Kimne today. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Joshua. And so we move now to Bledaf Chapel of Geary, and that's Scylla Gould. How are you this today, Scylla?
We're fine, thank you, and welcome to all who are listening from the north end of the parish. We're not a church on this Sunday, but we are welcoming all our congregation to move to some of the other churches if they would like to join in. That's the last of our summer closures, and hopefully we'll be back in church every Sunday. Even numbers at Blairdaff, odd numbers, odd dates at Chapel of Geary. And just a little bit of advance notice on the 5th in the afternoon, we're having an outdoor service at the Old Blairdaff Kirk at 2:30, which will be led by Ewan. And on the 12th, we'll have an outdoor service at the Old Logie Church, led by Neil. And we're hoping for fine weather for those. Bring your chairs and a brolly, and hopefully we'll enjoy a warm welcoming service at the old churches. And as Sheila said, we're looking forward to you too on the 5th over in Chapel of Geary, and we'll hopefully have our teas and coffees set up and ready to go there too. So that's all our news from that end.
That's lovely, Scylla, thank you. And from our side at Kintore, I can tell you that this Sunday, we're ordaining three new elders, or ordaining two, admitting three to the session, which is quite exciting. Next Sunday, we will be welcoming our new assistant minister on placement with us. That's the Reverend Tose Shaimunda, who, as we speak, is in quarantine as he's traveled from Zimbabwe. And he will be released from quarantine this week, which is very exciting. And we're really looking forward to having him here. He'll also, although he'll be under my supervision at Kintore, I'm sure you'll all get to know him around the area grouping. I'm sure he's looking forward to meeting all of you too. Then on Saturday, that's the 4th of September, we will... we have a group in our church called Sustainable Kintore. We're looking at how we can be more responsible about our interaction with the environment, especially with regard to issues of climate justice. And they are having a book and plant sale at the church. And so if you would like to find out more about sustainability and Sustainable Kintore, do come along between 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock on Saturday in the church grounds, just inside the church gate. And I'm sure you'll find out more about all the things that they're up to. I think those are all the announcements for now. We look forward to having you all share in worship with us today. So let's go to worship God.
Our call to worship. Great indeed. We confess is the mystery of our religion. God was manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up to glory. We have gathered in his presence wherever we are. So let us worship him together. Shall we join our hearts and our minds in prayer? Let us pray. Eternal God, it was your spirit hovering over the waters at the dawning of that first day. It was your voice echoing through the darkness that brought forth light. God of all ages, accept our sacrifice of praise. Eternal God, it was your love that birthed humankind and placed them in a garden. It was your hand that helped them to their feet each time they fell. God of all ages, accept our sacrifice of praise. Eternal God, it was your prophets who spoke forth your word to a rebellious generation. It was your Son who showed the depth of love that will not let us go. God of all ages, accept our sacrifice of praise. Lord God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends throughout history and touches even our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us for the many times when we take for granted all that you have done for us and given to us. Transform us through your Holy Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all days. For we ask this, our prayer, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our reading today is taken from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 15, and reading from verse 1 to 10. That's Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
The parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin are arguably two of the most familiar parables and readings probably in the whole of the New Testament. To those of us within the family of Christianity, it's just about impossible not to be familiar with the parables and with their meaning. As told in Luke's Gospel, Jesus presents the people listening to him with these two stories of lost and found. In each case, the one who suffers with the lost goes to remarkable lengths to try and find what's missing. A shepherd goes out on a limb, leaving the rest of his valuable flock in order to search for the one sheep that's wandered off. A woman turns her whole house upside down and won't stop searching until she finds the one coin that she's lost. Then, having recovered the said sheep and the said coin, shepherd and woman call together their friends and neighbours in celebration that what was lost has now been found. And as we know, Jesus takes both these simple stories and applies them to God, making the equally simple point that celebration and rejoicing is what happens in heaven when even one sinner repents and turns back to their Father. So far, so good, we might say. We belong to a God who actively searches for the lost and rejoices whenever even one of the lost is found. And that surely is reason for us to celebrate. So the sheep is back in the fold and the coin is back in the purse, presumably. And the sinner has repented and turned back to God. And that's where Jesus leaves the parables. But what, I wonder, happens next? What more is there to think about? Is there anything else to think about? Well, I could ask you for a start, are you lost or are you found? But the trouble with identifying ourselves as either lost or found is that we can all too easily fall into the potential trap of thinking about repentance or thinking about faith more generally in a binary fashion. That either we've lost our way somehow or else we're safe in the fold. We're in or we're out. It's one or the other. But to think that either we're lost or we've been found, I think, is to create a false dichotomy and a false sense of security. Because the lived reality for most of us, I think, is that we are both lost and found at any one moment in time. Like me, you are most likely constantly lost and constantly being found. Constantly wandering off, constantly distracted, constantly getting it wrong, constantly misjudging, constantly mishearing, constantly misinterpreting, and constantly being brought back to grace and inclusion in the fold again and again. Jesus speaks of the one sheep that strays and the 99 who do not. He also distinguishes, if you remember, between the one person who repents
and the 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or as I like to imagine, the 99 who have no awareness of their need for repentance or change. And I say that because there was a subtle, clever power in those parables. Jesus was telling them against a backdrop of the accepted religious practices of the day, a culture in which the scribes and Pharisees framed and understood their religious expression in terms of upholding the letter and the practice of the law. And perfectly understandably and logically, the scribes and the Pharisees considered themselves righteous for doing it. By contrast, it was clear that the people who were drawn to Jesus were often those on the periphery of things, by definition, or gender, or circumstance, or occupation, not considered in the fold of the righteous. Yet these were the very people who frequently recognized and acknowledged their need of restorative power. These were the people who were reaching out to God, reaching out to them. So perhaps Jesus was making a distinction between those who were aware of their need for repentance and those who were unaware that they had any need for change in their lives. Repentance need not come with flashing lights and drama. It isn't necessarily a once and for all event or moment in time. To be repentant, we don't have to preoccupy ourselves with guilt or regret. It's not about blame or judgment. Repentance is simply a turning towards God. It's a continual process of reorientation of our lives to what's important and to what should be for us as Christians a priority. Metanoia, the New Testament term for repentance, means quite literally a change of mind, a different way of seeing. So repentance is an acknowledgement that we want things to be different. If you like, it's an openness to God's word and a recommitment to God's ways and values. And therefore, as I said, an inevitable reaching out to God as God reaches out to us. Again and again in our lives, like the shepherd, God comes searching for us. Like the woman looking for the coin, God doesn't rest until every avenue is explored, because every sheep has a fold and every coin is precious. And that's a perfect metaphor for God's grace. God's grace is an invitation back to where we belong. It's broad enough to appreciate our meanderings and our propensity as people to keep wandering off. Yet it is tenacious enough to keep on reaching out. But being repeatedly lost and repeatedly found is the way of faith. It's the path that we're on, and it's perfectly possible to be one or the other, or even to be both at once. And it doesn't matter where we lose ourselves or where we're found even, because we're promised that God's grace will always be new, will always be enough, and will always be sufficient. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come before you in prayer, we take a moment to reflect on the state of our world. And today we pray for the country of Afghanistan. Lord, we confess our concern and our distress over the images we see in the news of frantic departures from airports in Afghanistan. We hold in our hearts all those who fear reprisal from the Taliban. We pray especially for for all of the Afghan girls and women who rightly wonder if they are about to lose some or all of their basic human rights. And as countries like the UK, the United States work around the clock to finish evacuations from Afghanistan, Lord, we pray that the international community will maintain a watchful eye on Afghanistan so that it never backslides into being a safe harbor for ideological extremism or terrorism. Lord, in your great mercy, be with the people of Afghanistan and help the countries of the world to be good neighbors to Afghanistan in the time to come by offering what support is needed. Today, we also pray about the ongoing reality of the pandemic. And as we pray for this, we confess, Lord, that we are weary and fed up with COVID-19. The way that it continues to disrupt our world is hard to bear. And we confess our alarm at yet another rise in cases and questions about long-term efficacy of vaccines. And as we continue to journey through this pandemic together, and as we continue to gain more freedoms, we pray that you will also give us a renewed desire to protect the well-being of others, especially those who are vulnerable. May they heavily factor in to the choices that we face each and every day. Today we pray as well for the renewal of Christian faith here in Scotland. And may all of us who claim Jesus as Lord of our lives, may we seek to show his love to others. And may hearts and minds be softened to the good news of the gospel. Lord, the needs of this world and the needs of our own lives, they are so many. But you know them all. And you invite us to bring our cares, our concerns, our blessings, and our joys to you. So in the next few moments of silence, we bring our own praises, our own needs, and our own prayers into your loving presence. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us when we pray. We place our faith in you for everything that we need in life. And as a sign of the faith, the trust that we have placed in you, we now join our voices together, praying the words that Jesus invites us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now go in peace, rejoicing in the infinite love of God, and may the blessing of God Almighty, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you and with people everywhere, now and always. Amen.